They are forming themselves into a unified civil body politic. And what are they going to use that body politic for? To enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and officers for the general good of the colony. Just and equal. For the general good of the colony. So, not for their own personal enrichment or for the elevation of a particular group, not just the elite class, but for the good of all the people in the colony. We see here the commitment of the early colonists to fair and just rule, where there exists equality under the law. Equality under the law. That's important. Don't just let that phrase drift on by. Not only was that an exceedingly rare idea at the time, and had been exceedingly rare for the previous 10,000 years, but at that time it was virtually non-existent in the world, in any actual legal sense. So for the pilgrims to sit down and enshrine this concept in their governmental framework is quite significant. Again, I cannot stress enough that we cannot study history with a 21st century American perspective. That kind of perspective sees a concept like equality under the law as so fundamental that we are up in arms every time it even appears that it was not upheld, as we should be. But that idea was so radical in 1620. These people are the radicals of their time. They are the ones banging on doors, flipping tables, and chucking fine china against the wall. They don't see themselves that way. And it is not their intent to be such, but when we look at what plays out in history after people like the pilgrims, we see they are the ones turning their backs on the past, setting it alight, and salting the charred earth behind them, whether they meant to be those people or not. And what's interesting is the people who wanted to hold on to the past, the kings and queens, the self-righteous elites, the oppressors, the silencers, they don't even see it coming, because these radicals were small groups of seemingly insignificant people, a couple dozen here, a couple dozen there. Who cares what they do? It's 40 wacko religious zealots. I'm a king. I'm not worried about them. But those 40 religious zealots, their passion and spirit of independence are transferred into a few dozen Sons of Liberty down the road. And then to 70 delegates to the Continental Congress, and 116 people dressed as Native Americans partying with someone else's tea in Boston Harbor, and finally into hundreds of thousands of farmers, lawyers, blacksmiths, and candlestick makers with rifles. Then at that point, everybody knows that the entire world order is on its last days. It's just a matter of time. Because everything those crazy, free-thinking, freedom-loving, God-fearing rebels touched burst into flames. You know, this particular group of people, the pilgrims, they have garnered a very revered place in the hearts and minds of Americans. Do they deserve it? These were a group of people with extreme ideas. And remember, they were a very, very small group of people. Numerically, they don't even register in history. And if they had set sail into the Atlantic Ocean that fall day in 1620 and were never heard from again, nobody would even have noticed. The world would have just gone on as normal, unchanged and uncaring at the loss of them. And yet, that voyage is now rightly considered to be one of the most historic, world-changing voyages of the millennium. And as far as the original colonies go, Jamestown was first, was larger, and more profitable. They created the first legislative assembly in the Americas. But it's the pilgrims who have cemented their place in our hearts and minds as the quintessential founders of America. Why is that? They weren't perfect. Their ideas were not implemented perfectly by any stretch of the imagination. And some of their practices seem outright crazy to us today. Remember, witches, hangings, stuff that we find hard to explain still today. But they set something into motion, something that couldn't be stopped, something that led to a reinvigoration of classical civilization and ideals here in the New World, and the flowering of the virtues of democracy and human rights and freedom of religion and equality that led to the destruction of a 10,000-year-old atrocity called slavery and to the lifting of untold billions out of oppression and poverty all over the world today. Might all of these remarkable developments have happened anyway? Would the French Revolution have still occurred without the expulsion of monarchical power by the American colonists? Might the principles of freedom and equality and natural rights have swept across the globe without the birth of the United States? Maybe. Maybe those things were inevitable. Maybe not. We'll never know for sure. We can, however, draw a straight line from the Pilgrims to the American Revolution, then through the American Revolution to the fall of monarchies across the planet, through to the destruction of slavery all over the world, through to Simón Bolívar sweeping independence across South America, through to the defeat of Hitler and Mussolini, to the ending of apartheid. Maybe all those things could have happened anyway, without the Pilgrim's Voyage. But there is no denying that the circumstances around the birth of the principles on which this country was founded were unique circumstances, and possibly unrepeatable in history. Just think about the confluence of things coming together around that moment in time. We have nation-states rising for the first time in history. We have absolute rulers tightening their despotic grip on control of the people. Population explosion. New exchanges between societies previously unknown to each other. The world's largest religion fragmenting. A scientific revolution advancing and spreading knowledge like never seen before in history. And the world on the brink of a completely transformational industrial revolution. In the midst of all of that, in all of this upheaval and change, a tiny, insignificant group of nobodies, 40 or so men, women, pregnant mothers, and children, are huddled in the cargo deck of a dirty, broken-down wine hauler in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Focused on a love of God and a love for one another, they are seeking a place to start over, a place to start from scratch, to be able to be free to follow their hearts, a place where they didn't have to abide by all the old and accepted ways of the world that had been practiced for the last 10,000 years. And in a twist of fate that defines all the ways that we can possibly understand the word providence, the wind and sea throw them off course and take them right to the perfect place to do it. When might that opportunity ever have presented itself in human history again? Maybe never.